Welcome to the Renewables Talent Lab, the number one catalyst for advancing careers and building high-performance teams in the renewable sector. Sponsored by the Anthony Michael Group, helping companies secure in-demand talent across the continuum from concept through commercialization and beyond in areas like energy storage, electric vehicles, hydrogen, solar, wind, and more. Here's your co-hosts, Mitch Robbins and Adam Soppy.
Hey there. Welcome back to another episode of the Renewables Talent Lab. Very excited about today's guest, Margaret Thompson. Very unique background. I always like to kind of get an understanding of one's origin story. You are currently the Director of Business Development at Click Solar, but an interesting tale of how you got from point A to here. So maybe you can start instead of me trying to do a bio and an intro that would be unfair or incomplete. Perhaps you can tell us how you got to this point.
Of course. Yeah. Thank you, Adam. It's really nice to be here. Margaret Thompson. I'm Director of Business Development for Click Solar at the moment, which is a renewable energy company here in Denver. And we specialize in residential solar systems for homes. So, yeah, you know, it was kind of an interesting story. I actually have a background in art. So graduated from Skidmore College in Fine Art a lifetime ago. And after, gosh, I think, you know, 8 to 10 years trying to cut my teeth in the art world, decided to look for a change. And at the time, you know, the work that I was involved with and still create is very much around the environment and the forms that you find out in nature. And so I thought, okay, gosh, well, if I'm going to switch gears, I want to do something that has a positive impact on, you know, what I love and about enjoying this world. So moving into renewable energy was pretty intuitive for me, and ended up on the sales team, starting knocking doors and you know, started boots on the ground, as you find, you know, many solar companies here in Denver operate their sales team on the ground, canvassing neighborhoods, and we're starting to see teams move more towards inside sales, and that's been really exciting to have a hand in here at Click as well. But yeah, started boots on the ground for about 3 years. Loved talking to homeowners, really educating them about how solar can really, you know, help homes and help them and their families secure not only a cleaner energy structure within their home space, but also their financial future, getting them a little bit into a better position as they move forward in the future. So, I mean, it was wild. Just could tell you some crazy stories of being in people's homes and talking with people, and but just loved it, and spent about 3 years on that team before moving into the role that I'm in now. And yeah, it's been quite the journey and a lot of fun along the way.
That's amazing. Well, thank you for getting us up to speed. I actually, this is something that's interesting to me. I asked Mike Crosby, he's the talent acquisition leader at Energy Vault, and actually I think Doug DeGon as well at Suburban Propane. I get a lot of, as a recruiter, I've talked to folks all day, every day. Some people are in highly regulated areas. Maybe it's med tech, maybe it's automotive or aerospace, or maybe not necessarily one of those areas. But if you're passionate about renewable energy, if you're passionate about trying to help the environment as you and I are, a lot of people are trying to migrate and pivot into our space, our community. And I've heard different things, you know, some, especially on the sales side, it is very technical, or can be very technical. Mm-hmm. So there's a steeper learning curve, perhaps. Some folks are like, hey, if you have the attitude and aptitude and everything else, we can train you on the rest. Where is your take, you know, on how to make that move into our community and into renewable energy? Is it a relatively flat learning curve, or what could somebody do maybe to position themselves? So if they do want to make the move, are there certifications, experience, trainings, college education, whatever that might be, that could maybe help position themselves better?
Absolutely. It's a fantastic question. So, you know, I'll speak for Click specifically. You know, we operate a little bit different than some other companies. I've heard all sorts of different structures in terms of who people are looking for to join those teams. Here at Click, we really love building up the individual. And so, to be very honest, we take a lot of people and just train them from the ground up. So we're not necessarily looking for any specific background or education. Backgrounds that really transition well are people-oriented positions. So lots of hospitality. We see people coming over from a hotel sales, you know, serving positions, but really just offering people an opportunity to completely educate them from the ground up. As long as they have those people skills, you know, that's what you can't really teach someone. You can teach someone, you know, all of the facts, but if you can't, you can't really teach someone how to talk and relate to other people. So I would say that, you know, if you're an individual looking to get into renewable energy and solar, specifically residential solar, and you know, really, really love talking to people, then that's going to be something that's going to be a really good fit for you. Also having a tough skin for rejection. You know, we're talking to people all day long. And, you know, as the market has gotten more saturated here in Colorado specifically, you know, when I started, you know, hardly anybody knew what solar was or how it worked. You know, we were also operating in COVID times. So, you know, I was canvassing when people were really just locked up in their homes. And it was a really unique experience, Adam. You know, just people were so desperate for human connection that it was, I mean, it was a really great setup for success for me. But we've entered a different era, right? Right. So we're, you know, everybody's kind of back into the groove of their daily life. They're not as home quite as much. So, you know, late nights, early mornings, you know, we find that if you have young children or and are really wanting to be present in the home space, that isn't the best conducive fit or most conducive fit. But yeah, just really outgoing individuals who aren't afraid of rejection, because, you know, when those yeses come, they're pretty significant and big and can be really life-changing. And, you know, people who are really comfortable talking with others are the personality types that make the best fit. And then in terms of the learning curve, you know, it's a very steep learning curve at the beginning, and then it starts to level out. So you really learn quite a bit about, you know, how solar works, how it actually, you know, interfaces with the home, and get to the point where you can educate that homeowner without overwhelming them with information. And then you kind of reach this plateau of like, okay, I'm sitting with most of the information comfortably. And then from there, it's, you know, smaller changes, keeping up with the trends of the industry, more like that subject matter versus just like learning all the nuts and bolts of it.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's great to hear. And yeah, in sales, you know, the wins are few and far between, and hence all the gray hair I have after 20 plus years of being in sales. And that's great to hear. And we can include links on the show notes too, for folks to apply or learn more about Click Solar. And it's exciting. Obviously here in Colorado, my family and I have been here going on 11 years, which is kind of wild. I grew up in the Midwest where solar probably isn't as, you know, as exciting. What do we have, 300 days of sunshine a year? Something crazy. I remember learning that when I first moved here. So now the key is, how do we store it? I just posted something this morning. Scientists in Finland are creating batteries out of sand, of all things. And so specifically for wind and solar. So, hey, we've got the sun shining a lot. We're going to have a solar eclipse, but I think some of it will be able to be seen here in Colorado. But how do we store it and then get it back into the grid? Interconnectedness obviously is another challenge we're going to face, and working with utility companies and stuff like that. But
absolutely,
the fact that we can take advantage of such beautiful, you know, the sun, you know, blue skies all the time, even right after a big snow or whatever the case is. I mean, that's a really exciting time here in Colorado. So there's a lot going on. You know, Inflation Reduction Act, probably the biggest. Obviously, that's the biggest change, depending on which side you are, favorable or unfavorable, in the history of our country, probably. And so there's a lot going on. Obviously, we're coming up on a U.S. presidential election in November. Things could change. But for right now, IRA is a big deal. I know it's a loaded topic and we could probably spend a couple hours just on that, but is there anything you would like to share and, you know, kind of unravel it and maybe educate us, you know, us dummies, IRA for dummies or something like that, and maybe provide your take on how where we are today as we record this and, you know, what the future holds.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I'll just, you know, kind of go off and on some tangents. So feel free to, if you have anything that you want to understand more specifically, feel free to let me know. But, you know,
awesome.
Yeah. You know, the Inflation Reduction Act was really instrumental over the last couple of years specifically. So the landscape before IRA came out was, we had in the Obama administration, they had voted into place, I'm going to speak specifically for solar here. They had put into place some tax credits that were really helpful for homeowners in making the switch to clean energy. You know, solar is quite an expensive renewable energy in comparison to the others out there. And it really required some subsidies in order to become viable for the average consumer. So back in the Obama administration, they voted into place a 30% tax credit, which we now have today. And then flash forward, you know, administration after administration, vote after vote, that had not been supported to continue on. And so come to, pre-pandemic 2019, 2020, we were looking at a situation where the tax credit had gone from 30 to 26%, and it was getting ready to drop to 22% and then be completely eliminated the following year. But that's when IRA came out. And it was really brilliant. I don't know how they got it in there and how they got it to pass, because I mean, I kid you not, Adam, it was just, we were hanging on, you know, tooth and nail, just trying to get a handle on, is this going to continue or is it not? And, you know, we were paying close attention to the votes that were happening, at higher levels of the government, and they were just not in support of continuing that funding. So we were just shocked to hear that the, IRA had included a section for that tax credit to be renewed back up to 30%. So currently, we have a 30% tax credit on the table, and that's a non-refundable tax credit. So I can explain how that works from a non-CPA perspective if you care to. But, for the moment, pretty much what that did is it put that in place and secured it for 10 years. So I believe right around 2030 is when it's due to expire. And I was talking recently, and, you know, don't quote me on this, but, you know, just chatting with a couple of people in the renewable energy space that are at higher levels and have been, you know, flies on the wall for some conversation happening, you know, at very, very high levels at the White House, and just kind of getting a handle on the fact that, you know, you touched on it before. We really need to get the batteries at the infrastructure figured out.
Storage and
absolutely. So we really need to be investing in battery technology that will unlock solar at a commercial scale in a way that it hasn't quite been unlocked yet. That's the kingpin of the system that we really just haven't figured out to be financially viable for those larger scale projects. But, you know, so that needs to be sorted out. And then also, back when LED light bulbs and high efficiency appliances came out on the market, you know, 10 or so years ago, the utility providers at that time said, okay, well, great. Here is all this extra bandwidth we're going to have on the grid. So they didn't continue expanding the grid capacity and the infrastructure capacity. So we're seeing, you know, as you mentioned earlier, we need to get more transformers online. We're having a scenario where in Denver, it's called redlining. We have areas where transformers and grid have reached maximum capacity, and the utility providers are just saying, nope, no more solar. We can't install any more than we already have. We're completely maxed out, to the point where sometimes, like, main panels, like, we can't increase the service load to a house. For example, if a home needs to increase that service load in order to allow for a solar system, sometimes that isn't even possible. So it's been really interesting. So hearing that the next round of government legislation is going to be more in support financially of the battery technology development as well as grid capacity expansion. So that's kind of where it's going to be going. That being said, you know, solar is here to stay. It's not going anywhere by any stretch of the imagination. Just the subsidy for that will be diminishing. We expect over the next 10 to 20 years, once the current IRA policy has expired. So that's a little bit of a nutshell version of it. Did I touch on everything that you wanted me to hit?
Yeah, and this is exciting, and I get it from a real remedial basis, where I think most people would rather have clean energy than dirty energy, you know, if they had the choice.
Yes, sir.
But if the math doesn't work out, especially if times are tight and or money's tight, and you're like, gosh, I'd love to have solar, but I don't have $10,000 or $20,000 or $30,000 sitting around for the upfront costs. And then if there aren't credits, and if the math doesn't work, then, or even the recovery rate, you know, gosh, I don't know if we'll be in this house for 22 years. So that probably tells me I'm going to hold on. So this is really interesting. So it sounds like a 30% tax credit is in place until 2030 as it stands today. That was in jeopardy going to 26 and 22 and then zero. So if things stay the course, we can make hopefully a bunch of headway in the next 5+ years, get everyone set up for solar. And then again, you know, what you had touched on too, the battery, if we can get that storage in place, maybe in the next 5-6 years too, and then the interconnectedness. It's interesting. I was listening to a podcast a couple of weeks ago, and the transformer technology apparently is from, like, that we're using today is from like 1904 or 1908. So they're like, look, if we just redid the transformers, we'd get over 2%, you know, like 200%. So we would more than double the efficiency. That alone would solve a lot of our problems. But I think the way utilities utilities are incentivized or disincentivized to invest in R&D. And I understand the macroeconomics of it. They're like, hey, what, we have guaranteed contracts in place. Why are we going to go spend millions of dollars and improve the efficiency? Or for that matter, sell less expensive energy, green or not. They're like, hey, we're incentivized to sell more expensive energy in many cases. So I don't know the right answer and how to solve this complex problem. But if we can all work collaboratively, I feel very good that we are making big strides here.
Yeah. Really quickly, I want to back up. I fact checked myself there. Currently, the IRA has extended to 2032, and then it will be reducing over the course of a few years after that.
Okay. So, and it kind of phases out. Okay, cool.
Yeah. But, it's interesting that you're talking about the grid. You know, our infrastructure was built originally in like right around 1890 is kind of when electricity came to the public scale. And we really haven't redone a whole heck of a lot. Like you seeing streets getting ripped up to move power lines from, above ground to below ground. But, it's been really interesting. And especially with a lot of, cyber crime that's been happening, we're also finding ways of making a more resilient grid infrastructure. And so, grid hardening is a prime example of that. Is that something you've come across in, that word ever?
I've never heard that term. I know that, what was it in the last 12 or 15 months? I've heard of two or three or four specific attacks. I think Oregon maybe had one, Portland area, and a couple others. I can't remember the stories, but I'm like, oh, that's concerning with as easy as there's probably some 14-year-old kid in their basement right now that's a hacker that could probably hack Denver's grid if they wanted to. Oh, hopefully they're not thinking about that. But yeah, so grid hardening. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's been amazing. There was the most recent one that caught America's attention was a cyber attack that literally took down the entire infrastructure on the eastern coast, a significant portion of the eastern coast. But so what they're doing is, as I mentioned, you've seen them, moving power lines from above ground to below ground. That's a prime example. Yeah. They're also going through and replacing wooden power poles with steel poles. So they're actually just creating a more resilient infrastructure physically. And then on top of that, they're creating multiple avenues for energy to flow. So for example, like, Texas was another scenario where the grid went down from, not related to any kind of, cybercrime. So what they're trying to do is create scenarios where if a portion of the grid goes down, instead of just having it completely go down, we have different ways for energy to flow through and continue to reach those areas. So it's kind of like a backup and fail-safe, which is really interesting. And it's been a significant investment for the utility providers, but it's been really interesting to watch that play out over the last several years as well.
That's exciting. And I think it gives people peace of mind too, that you mentioned Texas, and it's an unfortunate situation because people literally died from it. And I think all sides are pointing fingers at each other. Parts of the state were apparently, from my understanding, were not tied to the Texas grid, and they brought in energy from other states, and they for the most part were unscathed. So if we can figure out AI, it sounds like can help make it more efficient with the flows and surges and stuff. But yeah, if we have a backup, so God forbid, they're even talking about the solar eclipse coming up here. That's going to shut us down for a little while. It's a blip, but hey, I still want to, heat my water. I want to make whatever. I want my air conditioning to be on. So how do we get around that? And so, hey, that's exciting to hear. Hey, we're strengthening the grid. We're in a different spot here in the United States versus some of the countries that have new grids. So they're much further ahead of us, whereas we're now trying to, that's crazy. 1890s, we're taking down some of that technology and redoing it. So it's
kind
painstaking
of like renovating an older home, something that was built in the 1800s, all of the plumbing and the fixtures don't match what's, on today's market. You have to get specialty items. It's a really similar concept. It's very interesting.
We've been through that, and our house, is from the 1980s and not like 100 years old, but enough where electricity, actually our panel, we have an EV. We ran into that. We want, a few other things, and they're like, you don't have the power to do it. We're kind of under the not assumption, but kind of like everyone else, if it dies, electrify. So as appliances go out, then we'll try to electrify, but we're not in a spot to just do everything at once. Whereas if you are building a green home, a smart home right now, it's a little bit easier, a lot easier probably. So
absolutely
similar to building out a new grid based on this technology. So COVID, you started, that's an interesting time to be talking to people. My wife always jokes with me. I'm like chasing the Amazon guy or girl down the driveway, like, hey, come talk to me. I haven't talked to a live person all day. So this is exciting. So I can imagine that scenario. Well, then that spins into supply chain issues. then inflation, market rates are crazy. I've heard rumors that the Fed is poised to cut rates maybe 3 times this year, starting in the summer. Who knows if that, I mean, the futures market seems to believe that.
Yes, sir.
What are your thoughts there? How big of a deal, you know, was the fluctuation or are the fluctuations in market rates?
Yeah, you know, it really has been quite significant, actually. And goodness, yeah. We really hope that the Fed cuts rates as well, because our rates are directly tied to what the Fed is doing. And we actually were notified a few weeks ago that we're actually our finance provider is increasing rates again, just due to everything going on and how tight it's gotten. But yeah, it's made it. I mean, the days of, you know, 0.99 interest rates, which is what I was selling when I first got in this game, are just gone. I mean, and we don't see those coming back anytime soon, similar to what we saw, you know, in the housing market. You know, we had historical lows, and we definitely see we're hoping that the Fed cuts rates and that will also reduce our rates. But we're not going to see those incredibly low lows again. You know, right now we're working in, and the solar industry is hovering right around like 3 to 7% or so, kind of depending on who you're working with. And, you know, there are higher ones that I've seen and there's lower ones that I've seen, but it's, you know, the cost of financing has just gotten very expensive with all of the increases that we've, you know, endured. And so it's made the break-even point, you know, there was a point where I was selling in Excel territory specifically, because Excel is really just, you know, increased rates significantly on homeowners. Okay. And so, I mean, I remember I sold a couple of deals that were like $50 below people's average electric bill on the month, like every single month. So coming in, just bringing these people savings from day one.
Easy math.
It was so great. And that has really significantly changed. You know, if you take a 0.99 and you increase that to, you know, 3 or 4% interest, it really has an effect on that bottom line. And so that's where we've seen it. We've seen the whole industry is down a little bit. We're down about 30%. And a part of that is the interest rates. And so we're crossing our fingers that the Fed cuts them and we can bring them down and just continue to make it more and more affordable and feasible for homeowners. That being said, for the homeowners that really want solar, it hasn't stood in their way too much. You know, we're typically a little bit above the average homeowner's monthly bill, but not too terribly much, like maybe $30 or so, where it'll make up in about, you know, 7 years is right around the break even that we're seeing at this point.
It's hopefully that I think the math will improve here, hopefully in the not so distant future, but you're saying as of today, if you're interested, you can still move businesses, you know, the business is open, we're open for business, and the math can still work out.
Absolutely.
And especially if you're conscious in addition to, you know, dollars and cents,
looking, you know, interest rates have risen, which has brought that cost up. But at the same time, all of the utility providers have also been feeling the effects of inflation, the supply chain issues. And so they have been raising prices on homeowners as well. So, you know, things are kind of working in tandem with each other. So the interest rates haven't made the numbers not work anymore. It's just a little bit of tighter math for sure.
I hadn't thought to ask you this before, but are you seeing anything on resale? So if I'm selling my home next year versus the next door neighbor who has the same floor plan, or else they don't have solar, how does that play into the equation?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, so there's some conflicting studies out there, and I'll be just, you know, really honest about it. So Zillow and Forbes both did a couple of studies a few years back that was saying that on average, solar is increasing the cost of a house by roughly 4.1%. So if you're looking at a $500,000 home, you can increase the value by about $20,500 by putting that solar system on, similar to adding a third bedroom. Now, I've seen that work very well, and other neighborhoods, it doesn't work very well. So, you know, if you think about it, you know, the market has to support what's going on. So if you are renovating and you have the absolute nicest house on the block and you were the first to gentrify, it's going to be a little bit harder for you to get that money out, right?
Yeah.
But if you are the opposite of that, if you kind of have purchased that home where in an area that's developing, property values are very, you know, on the rise, then and you're kind of working to catch up with that neighborhood, then it probably is going to work really well for you. I've seen homes where literally they bought the home, slapped a solar system on it, and then sold it about a month after the solar was installed, and 2x'd the value of the solar system and got that out of the house. So they actually made 100% profit on that solar system. And the market, you know, supported that.
Okay.
In other areas where it's, you know, a little bit of a smaller neighborhood, we've had homes not be able to do that. And the worst case scenario that we see happen is, instead of wrapping the cost of the solar system into the sale of the home, that homeowner just transfers the loan to a new homeowner. And so for them, what they've done is they've gotten that solar put into place. They got the tax credit on the table for it, and they secured their cost at a reasonable price and didn't have to bear those increases from the utility provider. And in the meantime, 5 years later, they've gotten to benefit from that solar system and those savings. And then they're just transferring the loan on to the next person.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the breaking news on the realtor side, NAR, I mean, we've saw that big, the 6% commissions, that's changing. So who knows, maybe those, if those are, smaller percentage points, 1, 2, 3, where it can get built in or cooked into a purchase price, maybe that takes the place of it in some cases.
Absolutely.
Well, this is a lot of, kind of rehashing. I mean, there's a lot that's gotten us to this point in the spring of 2024. Where do you see things going? Are you optimistic? Are you bearish, bullish, big concerns, we're doomed, or we're in a good spot? Where are we?
Oh, I'm very optimistic moving into the future. We've summertime is one of the best times for people to install solar. It's just kind of when people are seeing the sunrise, they're seeing there's no snow on the roofs. Here in Colorado, we have a lot of snowpack on our roofs through the winter. So,
yes.
We're moving into the high season of solar. And, I've been talking to a couple of different people in the industry, again, at pretty high levels, and we're expecting the market to increase this year. I know it's an election year, so that causes always some question and variability, but solar is not going anywhere anytime soon. We've only just gotten these panels to be more efficient, more cost effective. The cost of financing has changed, but the cost of the actual panels is decreasing, which is fantastic.
Yes.
And so I mean, it's still a fantastic opportunity, an option for homeowners, especially those, young families who are going to be in their homes for another 5-10 years or so, and they're wanting to secure those electric rates in the meantime. We have pretty big hopes for where the industry is going.
That's really good to hear. That's good to hear. And I as an outsider, I tend to agree with you. And we might look back at these times. You might look back at these times just like, in 2019, 20, during the beginning of COVID, like, holy cow, rates went from here to here overnight, and our job got a lot harder. And we had, political strife, we had, headwinds and whatever else. And now, to where we are, it's much better. So yeah,
absolutely.
And hopefully, the Fed eases rates, and that's going to help. Hopefully IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act has enough momentum that even if there is a political change in the United States, in the next several months, that's not going to be dismantled. And we don't,
exactly,
as a homeowner, we don't have to worry about tax credits changing overnight, anything like that too. So
yeah,
it's an exciting time for sure.
It sure is.
The technology gets better and we iterate on that. And like you said, the cost of solar panels comes down, and now as hopefully the prices come down as well. I mean, it's a win-win. It makes a lot of sense for everyone. And hopefully when we're flying over, communities, 10 years from now, we'll see literally no houses without solar panels. So that would be super cool.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate your time. Thank you. I have like a page and a half of notes, so thank you for educating me. I would love to, maybe we can take a deeper dive in 6 months and, kind of see how your predictions are coming along, or how things are changing with the market rates and things like that.
Absolutely.
But this was very, informative. I think our audience and community is going to get a lot from it. Anything else that you would like to share before we hop off?
Oh man, just I would encourage the people who haven't, who've heard about it and kind of wondered, to get in and at least do some research and figure out if it's a good fit for your home. Right now we do have this amazing, unique opportunity while the government subsidies do exist. And again, we don't see those lasting forever. And we know that the right. government wants us to make this transition. So what happens when the government incentivizes something? We have seen this with, you know, Obamacare. First, they incentivize it. And then for the late adopters, they actually penalize in order to do that. So again, don't have a crystal ball, but we are in a pretty unique opportunity. So if it's something you guys have heard about and just, you know, not known if it was, you know, good for you, just do some more research. Find someone to talk to who can actually provide the information, and then that will allow you to decide, okay, yes, this works for us and our family and our home and financial planning, or it doesn't. And at least at the end of the day, you know.
Right. Yeah, that's great advice on everything in life, probably, is do the research, get the data so you can make an educated decision and
exactly.
not feel... And basically, yeah, and feel good about your answer either way. So have somebody from ClickSolar, have somebody in the know come out and spend some time at your home, get up on the roof, see how things are, you know, looking, and you know what your son, what is the right terminology? So, hey, I've got a tree here, it's blocking part of the roof, or it's facing the wrong direction. This one's not great, but this slope is better. I mean, you or your person that comes out could tell you that within a couple hours, probably, right? Like, hey, here's 100%. Where we think the numbers
would
look.
Okay. It's honestly kind of cool. We use... what you're talking about, it's a thermal scan that we actually do of roofs, and we use a LiDAR system, which is really cool. You
okay.
can actually, I've been into some of the modeling, and you can really move things around three-dimensionally, spin a helm around, look
wow.
at it from the side, bird's eye view, et cetera, and so forth. But yeah, we'll do a full thermal scan with data points from your next door neighbor's house, tree points, so that there is, you know, a really built out and thorough three-dimensional diagram of that home with the sun tracking at different points in the year as well. So we don't just track summertime sun movement. We look at how the sun moves through the sky all year long. And then it's a complementary design. Yeah, so if you guys are wondering, feel free to reach out to us. ClickSolar is the company, and give us a phone call. You can go to our website and set up a consultation right there for with a click of a button. But yeah, it's a free complimentary just information session where we can go through all of that information and kind of help you analyze, okay, is this a good fit or is it not?
Yep.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Hey, you don't have a swimming pool. You don't have a barrel sauna. You don't have this, and this. You use very little utility or energy. This might not make sense, or the recovery rate or break-even point might be different. Or, hey, wow, you have a family of five and you know, it's go, go, go. And you've got everything going on. Wow, this ROI is going to be significant. You're going to see huge savings, you know, pretty early on. So, well, that's awesome. I want to be very mindful of your time. So thank you again, Mark, for joining us.
Yeah,
we'll wrap
thank you
up
for
here,
having
but
me,
yeah,
Adam.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And hopefully, like I said, hopefully you'll come back and educate us again in the future.
I certainly
we'll
hope
share,
so.
You know, links to everything on the show notes so that people can reach you and your team and learn more. And yeah, it's really an exciting time. I know solar's been around for, you know, what, maybe a decade and a half, 2 decades or so, but really gaining traction now. And with the technology, you know, the iterative process, it's really an exciting kind of juxtaposition. And, you know, I'm excited for the next decade or two. So, yeah, I'll let you get back to your day. And, yeah, thank you, everybody, for joining us. And until then, thank you for joining the Renewable Talent Lab. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
Thanks for listening to the Renewables Talent Lab podcast. For more content-rich episodes, log on to theanthonymichaelgroup.com or subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform.